Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of Jesus of Nazareth has healed me. He has healed me completely. I'm whole. I am whole. Maybe some of you recognize me. Maybe some do not. Although many do. I am the one who spent all of those years lying by the gate called Beautiful, outside of the temple, outside of the court of Gentiles. I lay there. People brought me every day because I could not take myself. I would say, alms, alms. It was an especially good spot that I had. For you see, as people came by the court of the Gentiles, through the court of women, and toward the temple, it was a good place to be, hoping that as they went in to do their duty and ask God for forgiveness, perhaps they would give me more alms, more money. After all, I could not work. I have been laying for all of my life. And yet, as I lay there this one particular day, not far from Solomon's portico, two men came wandering by. I had heard of these men before. In fact, I had actually heard them speaking in Solomon's portico for some time, talking about God and talking about this Jesus whom I had seen. For you see, the day that they crucified Him, I was lying there as well, crying out for alms, but I did not get any alms that day, for there were too many people going by watching this Jesus as He carried a cross. I had heard the stories of them killing Him. I had heard the rumors that He had come back to life. But the Romans did not make those mistakes. And so I was lying there that day, and about mid-morning, as I was calling out for alms, I saw these two followers of this Jesus who had been preaching about Him in the portico. And as they came by, I said, "Alms, alms, please. If you have anything, give me alms that I may eat." Suddenly, this Peter looked at me in a strange way. In fact, the look on his face caused me to turn my eyes away from him. And he said, "No, look at me." As I raised my eyes, I put out my hand once again, hoping that perhaps he had changed his mind. And he said, "I have no silver. I have no gold. But I will give you what I have." I tell you, I wondered briefly what in the world he could have that would be more valuable than silver or gold. And he said, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and be healed." Telling a lame man, lame since after birth, to get up almost seemed cruel, but as I looked at him with a quizzical look on my face, he suddenly grabbed my hand and began to pull. And so I didn't resist, and I tried. And I found that though unsteady at first, for the first time in my life, I could stand on my own without others dragging me, without others carrying me, without others supporting me. And the longer I stood, the more strength returned. You have no idea the feeling that ran through me. And the questions that I had, how could this be that simply by speaking in the name of this Jesus, I could walk, I could stand? In fact, I found out a short time later, I could run. They began walking in toward the temple through Solomon's portico, and I held on to their hands just in case my feet and my legs gave way, and I followed them in. As I walked in, I noticed there were people standing around that started pointing and talking and making remarks. And someone said, "Who is this that is with them? Is that not the man that we have seen all of these years begging out by the gate?" And I said, "Yes, it is I." But some of them shook their heads, and Peter began to speak. And he said, "Hear me, O men of Israel. What has taken place has not taken place because of me or because of John. Our own religious piety has not produced this power. But what you see that has taken place has come because of the faith in the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one whom you had murdered, whom you had crucified, even though Pontius Pilate did not want to kill him, for he found no guilt. You insisted and had him murdered. And this man is standing here whole before you today because of faith in that name." Some began to ridicule. There were even those who questioned as to whether I was really the one who had been lying by the gate. No matter what I said, no matter what Peter said, they still questioned. And suddenly I knew. I knew that this Jesus about whom I had heard must be real. This Jesus whom I had seen go by carrying a cross and had been crucified must have been Son of God. This Jesus about whom I had heard stories that He had come back from the dead, if He could heal me simply by hearing His name and lifting me up, then perhaps He indeed is the Messiah, the Son of Man for whom we have waited all of these centuries. And some even said, "What are we to do? How can we explain this?" One of the Pharisees said, "What are we to tell people? For this is something that we have not seen before." Although Peter and John reminded them that they had seen this before, when Jesus Himself had raised the dead, when Jesus Himself, according to the stories, had caused the lame to walk and the blind to see. And then this Simon, Peter, looking around, said to them, "You have disbelieved because of your ignorance and because of your lack of understanding. But I say to you now, repent and believe in the name of Jesus of Nazareth." In the name and the faith that has restored this man to health, so that your sins may be blotted out. Even the sin of disbelief because of your ignorance may be forgiven, but only if you repent. Only if you return. Only if you admit your guilt, your lack of faith, and ask for more of His grace. Something flowed through me as He spoke, and I became even more aware that I had not just been healed physically. I had not just been changed in that my legs now worked when they had not before. But my spirit which had been so beaten down, my spirit which had become bitter toward God, bitter toward the temple, bitter toward all of these people who came to worship, was now changing. For you see, as a lame man, as one who was broken and diseased, I could not go into worship because I was unworthy. We had been taught for all of our lives and for so many years that what was happening to me was a result of sin. And yet I knew of no sin which caused me to be lame from birth. And so no one could carry me into the temple. And I became bitter toward God. And yet, in those moments, I came to understand that that bitterness could be overcome if I indeed showed faith. If, as Peter said, I would repent of the sins that I had, even the evil thoughts, if I would seek to make things right, then not only would I be whole physically, but I would be whole in my spirit and in my soul. My only reaction was to cry out, "Hallelujah!" My reaction was to cry out, "Thank you, God." My reaction was to cry out, "Have mercy on me, for I am a sinner, and I need to be forgiven." And so I would say to you today, I have been restored. I am standing in health. And yes, Peter and John were arrested, but because of the witness that was seen in my healing, because I could look at the religious leaders, at the Pharisees and the scribes, and say, "I forgive," they were let go. Let go to share that good news that I found. That news that God's grace can overcome, but only if we act in faith. Only if we repent. Only if we seek out those whom we have harmed and ask for forgiveness. And so I plead with you, do not harbor those thoughts as I did. Do not continue to live in ways that are against God, as so many others do. But rather, come in faith, believing in the name, but more so believing in the power behind that name. And then acting upon that power, so that you too might be restored, and so that others might be restored, and so that our world might be restored. The biblical text tells us that on that day, this man who had been broken in so many ways, this man who was physically broken, who was emotionally broken, whose life was probably one of a spiritual desert because he had been kept out by others. And in so doing, he had continued to keep himself from that repentance and from that restoration that God could give. The text tells us that that day, as he was asking for alms, as he was asking for money, as he was asking for material things, which he needed, he got something much greater. Peter says to him, "I don't have gold or silver, but I have something far greater." And we oftentimes say that, and we talk about how what we have in God in Christ and the salvation and redemption given is greater than all the gold or silver or other things we could have. and then we seek after the gold and the silver and all the other things we could have, and don't share the word of repentance and forgiveness and healing. The text says that what Peter and John offered to this man was just that. A word of healing, a word of faith, a word of restoration. And more than physical restoration, what he found and what they offered was emotional and spiritual restoration. But note, it wasn't something that was just offered without some consequence. As Peter and John go into the temple area near Solomon's portico with this man, and he goes with them, his reaction is to praise God, which should be our natural reaction to anything that God blesses us with. I know that's poor English, but anything with which God blesses us. Bless you. But note, he also stood to lose. Because as they are confronted and as they are arrested for preaching Jesus, guilt by association, this man was also subject to arrest, and yet he didn't back off. What did he do? He shared that healing. He shared that restoration. He shared that good word with those around. Even those who had denied Jesus, Peter said, if you will repent and come back and make it right, even that sin can be forgiven. The restoration of the kingdom to Israel included restoring individuals to full participation in worship of God, something that this man could not have had prior to because of all those beliefs, that because of his illness, because of his being lame, he was unworthy. And yet, which of us is truly worthy of that with which God blesses us? We find that Jesus here and Jesus continues to be still a living power in the lives of those followers who will exercise that power in the way they live. Through faith in Jesus' name and through acting upon that, it's not enough just to say, I believe in Jesus and I believe in Jesus' name. We have to do something with it. This man never would have gotten up had he not taken Peter's hand. He never would have gotten up had he not let Peter pull him and stood up. And he never would have been healed had he not then taken that first step. Faith is more than simply believing in the name. Faith starts by believing in the name, but it continues and is completed by acting upon that belief. And because of this, the lame man was healed. Peter says on three different occasions in this exchange in chapters 3 and 4 that he was physically healed. And yet, we also find from what he implies in other areas, he was not only physically healed, this man found emotional and spiritual healing as well. Something that he had not had before. Something that he had lost along the way had now been restored. You know, sometimes we live in a world, in fact, oftentimes these days it seems we live in a world that needs restoration and does everything it can to keep us from finding restoration. And yet, are we that much different, and are our times that much different from the times in which this man lived, or Peter and John ministered, or later Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts, who once again was kept from worship because of being a eunuch. And yet, through repentance and faith, they are restored. They're restored into a kingdom in which one doesn't have to be perfect, in which one doesn't have to have perfect health, perfect teeth, wear the wings of the angels. You've seen those commercials, right? who does not have to have perfect speech, but a kingdom where Jesus said, I come to give sight to the blind, to set the captives free, to bring healing and declare the year of God's favor. It is no accident that Jesus spent more time with those who were broken and hurting than with the religious elite. And it is no accident that Jesus, when He said, come and follow Me, meant that we would spend time reaching out to the broken and the hurting. Not being the religious elite, but recognizing that in our own ways, we too are broken and in need of restoration. Not just once, but oftentimes every day. If we are Christ followers, then we will reach out to the broken, the hurting, those in need of the good news of God's redemption. But if we are Christ followers, we will do that only after we have made restoration with God and with those who claim to be children of God, so that what we live might be true. Tall order, something I fail at often, but it also means we're never finished until God fully restores. So that's the challenge that we have today. Whether our difficulty is physical, we can fix some of those things, well, somewhat. Whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's relationships with God, relationships with others, only when repentance comes can restoration occur. And only God can lead us in that restoration. So as we prepare to sing our closing hymn, and it's only 6 minutes till one. Someone forgot to change the clock. But as we prepare to sing our closing hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, I understand the import and the intention of the hymn. Perhaps we need to remember that the Blessed Assurance comes when we are Jesus's. And then He is ours. We will stand in a moment and sing hymn number 572, Blessed Assurance. May our lives bring assurance to others that God can restore the repentant heart. Hymn number 572, Blessed Assurance.